You are listening to Pastor Damon Moore, brought to you by City Place Church in Orlando, Florida. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com. Now, here's this week's message from Pastor Damon Moore.
Last week, we finished up our series called At the Movies. And we preached from the movie. Oh, man, powerful, powerful text. We preached from the movie called Nacho Libre. Like, we really went in on that movie, Nacho Libre. But the main premise of the movie was when Nacho Libre, if you haven't seen it, watch it. It's a stupidly silly movie. Funny, though. He says this. He says, don't you want a little taste of the glory to see what it tastes like? And we tie that into Moses in Exodus 33, verse 18, where he says to God, he says, God, show me your glory. And after we finished last Sunday, I was ready to go to something else because that's what pastors do. We've got these messages that we want to preach. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, but did everyone get what that meant? Did everyone get, like, what the glory of God means, like what it means to pursue the presence of God? And I thought, oh, if that's the question that you're asking me, then you're asking me probably something that's rhetorical. No, that everyone didn't grab hold of it. So this morning, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pause. I'm not really even going to deal with last week's movie, but I do want to focus on this phrase of God, show me your glory, because I feel like in our environment, we get busy. And when we get busy, the voice of God can sound like work. Does that make sense? We don't know if God's saying it because it sounds like he's asking me to do something else. It can be really confusing. And I felt like we should just silence the noise a little bit today and focus on hearing the voice of God. Is that all right? Yeah. Because we get real busy and sometimes we respond to things that God didn't even say. And we're just out here going, going, going. And then there are other times in our life where we get so busy where God's talking, but we're not listening and we're doing our own thing. And so this morning, I just wanted to slow down and let's just focus on the voice of God. So if you have your Bibles, turn me to John chapter 10, verse 3. I was really tempted to say, just so y'all know. In fact, you know what? Turn to John chapter 10, chapter number 10, verse 3 through 5. It says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they did not recognize a stranger's voice. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for allowing us to leave here differently than we came in. But Lord, we thank you that we also hear your voice in this service today. Maybe it's the first time we've heard your voice in a long time, or maybe it's the first time we will hear your voice today. But we know, Lord Jesus, that you're here, and we want to leave here knowing that you're with us and for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At the beginning of the year, we kicked off our year doing a series called Uphill Habits. And we said this. We said that most people have uphill hopes and downhill habits. Most people have uphill hopes and downhill habits. And as we were thinking about today's message, all I could think about is I want to hear God's voice, but have I created the habit of hearing God's voice? Like, I can have the hope of hearing God's voice, but have I created the habit of hearing God's voice? If I haven't created the habit of hearing God's voice, then it'll always be a hope. Are you with me? I hope to hear God's voice. We've asked some people, some of you in this room, what did God say to you as you're making this decision? And here's some of the responses that we've gotten back over time is, well, I don't know. I haven't really prayed about it yet. So if we haven't prayed about it yet, how will we know what God wants for us? How will we know what God wants to say? How do we know what God wants to do? If we haven't slowed down enough to really know what he wants to say, here's what I find. I find that we have great hope that we want to have such a high level relationship with God, but we don't have the habit as of yet. So we have uphill hopes, but downhill habits. And so as we're reading John chapter 10, Jesus is talking and he says, hey, there's a door open, there's a gate open, and my sheep know my voice. Now he says, but the stranger will talk to you, but those who know my voice won't follow the stranger's voice. They'll actually run away. I wrote this down, and you can write this in your notes. If I don't know his voice, I will rely on someone else's. If I don't know his voice, I will rely on someone else's voice. Let me give you an example. If you can't hear from God, and if I can't hear from God for myself, when I speak on a Sunday morning, you'll rely on mine. Or you'll rely on the person that is on your job that appears to pray a lot. And they pull you aside and they say, hey, Joe, God has called you to speak to people. God has called you to open a business. Well, I appreciate that. But did God tell you that? Because sometimes if I don't know God's voice, the stranger's voice, I'm going to follow. Jesus said in John chapter 10, the sheep know my voice. They won't follow anyone's voice. And if anything sounds contrary to mine, they run away. Question is how many times have we settled for imitation? Anybody ever have imitation crab meat? You know what I'm talking about? Imitation crab meat, it looks the same, doesn't it? You bite into it, you can tolerate it for a little bit. But then when you have crab meat, you're like, oh, this is not the real thing. But some of us keep the acquired taste of the imitation because we've nibbled on it so long. So many of us enjoy the podcast of our favorite preachers. Some of us will literally leave here today, listen to this message, and go and turn on somebody else. And then we'll listen to somebody else throughout the week, and we'll be taking notes. And God's like, hey, all of that's really good. But do you know my voice yet? And so if I'm not careful, if you're not careful, we'll be living our Christian walk with God based on somebody else's voice. It's a frightening thing to do that. I wonder if you've been there before or recently. Luke chapter 8, verse 5 says this. It says, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. It was stolen. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell on thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, Jesus called out and said, he who has an ear, let him hear. He who has an ear, let him hear. Jesus gives some examples. He says, hey, some will fall on the rocky ground. Some will fall in the ground. They'll come up a little bit. They'll choke themselves. They'll die. One will fall in good soil, and it'll produce much fruit. But then he says this, he who has an ear, let him hear. Here's what I realize is that the seed, when Jesus is talking here, the seed that's sown is the word of God. There's the word of God's being scattered all throughout the day. Every month, God is talking. Every time, God is talking. I wonder where it's falling in you and I's life. Is it falling in a place where we grab hold of the word of God, or is it falling in a place where it just bounces around? The birds come, steal your word. Or maybe the cares of life smother it away. I wonder where the word of God is falling, because remember now, I have uphill hopes, but I have downhill habits. I wonder if my habit that I'm forming is allowing the word of God to be stolen in my life, smothered in my life, or if it's going to produce good harvest food in my life. This morning, we're talking about hearing God's voice because after last week, we had a great soft moment of worship, and we said that last week we wanted to send ourselves home with a starter kit of his presence. And I left this week or last week feeling like I wonder what we've done with the word of God that we've heard over the last year. What have we done with all of the messages? What have we done with all of the encouragement? What have we done with everything that we've listened to, every bit that we've heard, everything that God said? What have we done? Pause, Damon. I ask you, answer the question. What have you done with what God has said to you or what you've heard? Pause for effect. Think about it. What have you done? Have you put it to practice, or does it just sound good? Because the Bible clearly says that if we're not careful, it'll be trampled on, snatched away. Life will suck it dry, but it should produce a harvest. Here's some things that impact you and I's ability to hear. You can write these down. Some things that impact you and I's ability to hear. The first thing is filth. The first thing is filth. We have heart issues, choices we make, unrepentant sin, and then just the things that other people would say or do in our life. Luke chapter 8, as we continue on in Luke chapter 8, it says this in the Living Bible. It says that the hard path, where some seed fell, represents the hard hearts of those who hear God's word, but then the devil comes and steals the words away and prevents people from believing and being saved. It's amazing how fast the enemy comes. The enemy has a timer, y'all. Service will end in a few moments, and the enemy's already going, okay, I've got something for Randy. I've got something for Taisha. I've got something for Jared. I've got something waiting for Bernard. I've got something waiting for Quentin. I've got something waiting for Samantha. They've heard something. They might be challenged, but by the time they get to the door, I'm going to steal it away. What's going to happen? They're going to walk outside. Their tire is going to be flat. That's going to distract them, and they're going to get frustrated because they're going to say, oh, this just happens. It seems like this week is the week from hell. Got them. They're distracted. Just that fast, the enemy has already set up a scheme to take you out because God is speaking, but he wants you to think that he's not. And there's other things in our life. There's frustrations and anger, offense that's sitting in our heart that we've allowed to stay, that we just don't want to deal with because they deserve it, but we don't want to let it go. And since we don't let it go, we feel like, God, are you saying anything to me? God, are you doing anything? God, what's going on? I'm not hearing you. And he's like, you've got a hard heart. You've got a hard heart. See, last week we talked about a little taste of the glory. And we left here and the atmosphere was good, but I was really concerned. I was like, God, are we really going to grab hold of your presence and it become permanent? That is not just a weekend thing, but God, we're chasing after your presence. And I realized that the filth of our heart sometimes causes God's presence to be momentary. It's a one-off. It was good on Sunday, but it doesn't show up on Monday. It was good last week when I listened to the podcast, but nothing else happens. The reason why is because the word of God is stolen. Jesus clearly says that the devil comes and he steals it, but I wonder where our heart is today. I wonder if our heart is positioned to where we can hear God's voice. Here's the second thing. You can write this down. Stress and tests. Stress and tests. Luke 8:13 says that the stony ground represents those who enjoy listening to sermons. This is the Living Bible. But somehow the message never really gets through to them. And it doesn't take root and grow. They know the message is true, sort of believe it for a while, but when the hot winds of persecution blow, they lose interest. I ask you this morning, how many of us have gone through tests and you want to throw in the towel? How many of you have something that you've been leaning on and because it's delayed, you may have put a time limit on it when God never said so? Anybody overstressed right now? Wave at me if it's you. A little overstressed. Anybody feel like you could use an extended vacation of months instead of days? Mm-hmm. How about this? Maybe everybody can relate to this. Anybody busy? Okay, watch. Test of the enemy. To steal God's word. He starts it off with our heart, with our attitude, with what people could call you, what they could label you. That's what Jesus said. The devil comes quick. But then there's also this subtlety called life. Every bit of persecution is always not a bad thing. Persecution could be the job that you work times three. I work in the morning, but then I have to work a second job. I have to work a third job just to meet my bills. The stresses of life, it doesn't have to be the enemy drops sickness and finance problems and marriage problems all at the same time. No, it could be your schedule. And when the stresses of life come, the Bible says you take it, you go good for a while, you're running for a while, and then you're like, this is too much. Have you ever been there where you've been spiritually like Hercules for a while? Or I know what you're thinking, or like you, Pastor Damon, Hercules, right? See, that's another phrase that I do. I say that all the time. Like this right here. I do that. That's a habit. I got to break that. And I'm saying, it's not prideful. It's just me. No. Listen, have you ever worked so much to where your work becomes your primary focus? Have you ever poured out so much to where the thing that you're pouring out becomes your primary focus? Stress and test. The word of God is beaming on the inside of you, and it goes away. Have you ever been, let me ask you a question. I'm asking tons of questions this morning, but have you ever gotten that fresh message and then the next day you feel like you need another one? Anybody? Where it's like you forgot what you just heard? Anybody? Because here's the thing. The messages are ripe and good, but the stresses of life come to steal. Remember, by the time you get to the door today, the enemy's already got something with your name on it to steal. See, my challenge today is I wonder if we can settle in a position to where we hear God's voice and it's not a one-off. I know I'm not going crazy today, but I felt like I can go to my next sermon or you and I can click into the voice of God. If we get the voice of God, we get the power of God. We know what he's saying. It's not a routine. This is a personal relationship with God. I don't know about you, but I get tired of life. I get tired of situations. I get tired of being mad at somebody, and then it lasts for 2 or 3 weeks, and I'm trying to figure out why do I feel this way 3 weeks later. I get tired of working 50-plus hours a week and going, God, I'm so sorry I didn't give you your time that you desire with me. At some point, I've got to decide, and you've got to decide, God, you will be my priority, and your voice matters. Let me tell you, a decision without his voice can impact your life forever. There's a lot of people who are married who didn't pray first. There's a lot of people living in a big, big house who didn't pray first. There's a lot of people working in places who didn't pray first. There's a lot of people stepped out in the ministry who didn't pray first. There's a lot of people who've done things without the voice of God, and then they say, God, where are you at? And God's like, can we go back to your heart? Can we go back to the stresses of life? Don't leave your job because it's stressful. Leave your job because God said so. Here's the third thing. This one hits me hard sometimes because sometimes God speaks to me and then I'm like, well, hey. The third one is immaturity. Immaturity. Just so y'all know, this is a pastor's message today. This is not really a motivational speech. We are a 3-year-old church. At 4 years old, we should be walking and talking. Y'all know what I'm saying? We shouldn't be in a stroller too long, you know? Here's what I wrote down. Maybe our dissatisfaction is not about God, but about my lack of passion for him. Maybe my frustration is not with God. Maybe my frustration is rooted in my passion for him, which goes back to my immaturity. Luke chapter 18, again, this is Jesus talking, breaking it down to the disciples and the people. He says, the seed that fell among weeds stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they don't mature. We all got goals, y'all. We all got dreams. And Jesus is bold enough to say, the things that you can even enjoy could represent your immaturity. I don't know about y'all, but there is a lot of success that I want to achieve. But I didn't know that if I'm not careful, Jesus says that the chase could be a sign of your immaturity. I could be chasing, again, what I think God has called me to. I can be chasing what God has called me to, and it can become a distracting point to where I don't even know what God's saying. And he's like, slow down, friend. You've lost sight of it's my voice that you've been chasing that got you started on the chase. You've become distracted to just chase the worries of your life, the riches of your life, the pleasures of your life. You haven't matured all the way yet. How many times have you and I chased the thing instead of the giver of the thing? Pause for effect. Let me ask you, what are you chasing right now? What are you chasing right now? Part two, is God in the thing that you're chasing? What are you chasing right now? And is God in the thing that you're chasing? Because here's what we have a tendency to do. We chase. We say God's in it. God may not be in it. And then we pray that he will be in it. Anybody do that? You out there? And you say, Lord, you're with me. We just say, Lord, you're with me. Lord, I'm going after this and you're with me. Yes, he is, absolutely. But did he say chase? It's amazing how Jesus breaks it down into the simplest forms. He says it can be your heart. It can be your response. It could be what others have labeled you that keeps you from hearing my voice. He says it could be the busyness of your life. It could be the stresses of your life. It could be the attacks of the enemy that steals the word of God in your life just that quick. Or it can be the fact that y'all are still immature. We think that Jesus was always just like pleasant. I don't know if y'all seen the Thomas Kinkade picture where Jesus is just holding the lamb and he's just all smile and pleasant. No, Jesus told it like it is. Because Jesus knew that in order for him to get people positioned to the fullness of who he called them to be, he had to be honest. He said, your passion for me is missing. You're chasing other things. It's going to be hard for you to hear my voice when you're focused on what you want versus knowing what I want. So you've asked yourself the question. Write this down. Write this down. This is the fact. I mature when I stop making excuses and start making changes. I mature when I stop making excuses and start making changes. It's hard to hear that at whatever age you may be, that there's still room for growth. But spiritual maturity is always, always continuing to be refined. We have to allow ourselves to allow God to continue to refine us, to continue to grow us. If not, we get stuck. And once we get stuck, guess what, y'all? You're chasing your own thing. It's amazing how it flows all together. Write this down. It's hard for me to hear God's voice when it's heart, or the thing that impacts my ability to hear God's voice is heart over head. Heart over head. Luke 8:15 says, but the good soil represents honest, good-hearted people. They listen to God's word, cling to them, and steadily spread them to others who also believe soon, who also soon believe. So the first thing that Jesus said was that it starts with your heart. You have a hard heart. Jesus says, now we can turn this thing when it becomes your heart over your head. Because sometimes, I don't know about you, I can get in my head and I can be thinking about how I would solve the problem. I would be thinking about how I should handle it versus allowing my heart to be led by Jesus. David said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. So if I have the heart of God, then I'm going to be led by him. David, the Bible says he was chosen because when God looked at him, he says, you have my heart. You have my heart. He avoided every other brother because there was something with them that God said, they won't listen. If you read the life of David, David always went back to God's presence no matter what he did. And God always used him. David committed adultery. You think you got some problems? David committed adultery, but watch. David committed adultery, then literally hired some killers. Well, David did it more like this. David said, her husband, put him on the front line so that he can die. David wanted this girl so bad that David said, I got to have her any means. David, the Bible says, goes, repents before God, and God says, come on back here, son. That's the heart I'm looking for. You and I, we'd go, God can't use you. You've done too much wrong. God says, no, move that away. I love your heart. See, when we deal with the hard heart, when we move the stresses of life aside, when we allow God to mature us, we end back up to where it's my heart over my head. My head will tell me God doesn't want to be close based on what I did. But my heart, when I'm leaning into God, says, welcome. Welcome. Because the word of God will be planted in you, and then you'll realize it is not really about you. Write this down. We got heart overhead, and then we've got honor and value impact our ability to hear God's voice. Same verse. But the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people. They listen to God's word and cling to them. Watch now. If I love God so much, I'm going to value everything that he says. I am never going to discount the fact that Jesus died for me. Like, Jesus died for me. There is no way that I should be taking that for granted when God gave the very best. But we have a tendency to devalue that. When we think heart over our head over our heart, we can position Jesus to where he is second place and not first place. But the Bible clearly says when Jesus is talking, he says that they hear God's word and they cling to it. Do you know what that is? That's like, you will never get this from my hands. I don't know if y'all ever tried to take a toy away from a little baby when they're young and they grab hold of it. And it's like you start doing this with the toy. Give me back the teether, please. It's the cling. It's the holding on to the thing that's valuable. You and I sometimes hold on to the thing that hurts us, or the words, or the offense, which messes with our heart, part one. The first thing that puts us in distance from hearing God's voice. We cling to the stresses and the tests because I have to get up at 5. God, I'll give you your time later. I have to be to work. We cling to the fact that we are not maturing at the rate that God sees us. We cling to what's comfortable. We cling to where we have to be successful. We cling to the goals that we need to chase. We cling to every single thing. But God's like, if you cling to my word, you honor me. You value me. Back to Nacho Libre last week. Don't you want a little taste of the glory to see what it tastes like? The glory of God is honoring him. It's reverencing him. It's the fullness of who he is. When Jesus is talking in Luke and he says, when you grab hold of the word of God and you cling to it, you're saying, God, I recognize the fact that you've given this to me, that you said this to me, and there will be nothing that you say that I will devalue. If you say something to me, there is a high premium on it, and nothing and no one will ever be able to rip this away from me. Question. What was the last thing, if you've heard God speak to you before, whether through his word or maybe someone, a pastor or someone said something from God's heart to you, what was the last thing God said to you? My mom would always say, if you can't hear him say something fresh, go back to the last thing he said to you. Because that must mean that you may have got diverted. If you're here for the very first time, and maybe you're like, well, Damon, I don't even know what you're talking about, man. This church thing is new to me. My responsibility as a pastor today is to let you know that God speaks. And it's not anything spooky. It's not anything crazy. God will speak through his word. This morning, you may be in this room and you might be feeling like, man, Damon, you talking to me. I don't know your story, but God does. So God will shift what I wanted to preach about to encourage you that you got to slow down to be able to hear his voice. That's how God will work. It'll sound like, man, you know what to say. No, God would have me say something that will leap on the inside of you. Y'all taking notes? Here, let's keep going, let's keep going, let's keep going. Let's keep going. So we got to honor and we have to value. The last thing that can impact our ability to hear God is whether we are a funnel or we are a clog. A funnel or a clog. Jesus says this. He says, again, same verse 15. He says, but the good soil represents honest, good-hearted people. They listen to God's word, cling to them, and watch this, steadily spread them to others who also believe. Steadily spread them to others who also believe. I don't know if you've ever been here. Maybe this sounds familiar. Have you ever said this? I need a word. I need something from the Lord. Have you ever used that phrase? I need to just be refreshed. Anybody? I need God to speak to me. Am I trending in the right direction? Watch now. That was from earlier. One of my catchphrases. Listen, here's what I realize. That phrase is good at the beginning, but we turn into selfish consumers if that phrase doesn't change. If we say, God, I need a word this Sunday. Perfect. Next Sunday, God, I need a word this Sunday. That's okay. Next Sunday, God, speak to me. At some point, he's going to say, would you allow me to speak to you so that you can speak to somebody else? Are you with me? Let's say it one more time. This Sunday, you came in. You needed God to say something to you. Come on, that's good. Next Sunday, you come in. God, I need you to say something. That's fine. By week number three, I want us to change our perspective. God, do something in me so that I can do something for somebody else. Listen, we are either going to be a funnel or we're going to be a clog. God will be speaking, and then you'll come into this environment, you're like, I ain't getting nothing here. God ain't saying nothing to me here. Are you a funnel or are you a clog? Because the word of God is designed for God to impact you, to spread to others. Question, I've asked you a lot of questions. I hope you've been writing them down. Are you a funnel or a clog? Are you a funnel or you a clog? This could be something that is holding up God's word flowing through you. You might just be like, give me mine. Give me mine. Give me mine. Give me mine. I just want mine. Give me mine. Give me mine. And God's like, okay, listen, we're spending so much time together, but ain't nothing pouring out of you. I'm pouring in you. I'm refining you. I'm fixing you up so that other people can be impacted by the word of God. Here's the reality. If you and I aren't a funnel, the purpose and plan of Jesus won't be fulfilled in your life. That's raw, isn't it? Because sometimes we think that the thing that we do is what he's really designed for us to do. No, you and I are designed to be funnels so that more people can have a relationship with him. I know that's bold. Because you and I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a pastor. I want to do this. No. I can do all that stuff and nobody will hear about Jesus. Good for us. Hercules. I can achieve all of that. But if I am not a funnel, all I am is just having my own good little time with God. Funnel or clog? Ask yourself, funnel or clog? I love the fact that in our team time this morning, we shared and we heard about Jorge's dad. I talked about it earlier. We heard about Jorge's dad. I'm glad that they didn't keep that to themselves. Because somebody needed to hear that this morning, that God is still doing miracles. Can you imagine if you're hanging on and you're praying and you're thinking that you are the only one and no one ever shares with you that miracles are alive today? Because some people believe theology-wise that all of those miracles and signs and wonders and the presence of God and the power of the Holy Spirit died during the days of the apostles. But I thank the Lord that we are hearing stories that it's not dead. Are you with me? Funnel or clog, all of these things impact our ability to hear God. So I wrote this final thing down. If God, I said this during our first series, and I'm echoing it again. If God is in our life, but he is not first, he's not in our life. Another raw statement right there. I can be walking with God, absolutely. I'm going to heaven, great. But again, is he priority? Am I chasing after him or am I doing my own thing? The voice of God has to be alive, has to be active in our life. I could literally have him in my life, him not be first, and really he's not there. He's there. Yes, he's there. Yes, he's there. I'm not going to over spiritual. He's there. You're right. He will never leave you or forsake you. But if he's not first in my life, is he really with you? Are you with me? Are you getting what I'm asking you? Like, if it's one thing to say, Jesus, I love you, be Lord of my life. It's another thing to let him be it. Like, it's another thing to be all in. Like, Jesus, surface with you is not enough. One taste is not enough. I gotta have you every single day of my life. There, just so all of us know, God doesn't have a speaking problem. We have a listening problem. God's speaking right now. He's always speaking because there's more in us, to flow out of us. He's always, always talking. But we have a listening problem. As a church, our challenge is to be hungry for who he is. I want to challenge us as a church to be hungry for him. I know that everything around us would tell us that surface Christianity, being a surface Christ follower, is good enough. But can I tell you, don't let anyone pause you at the first place and harden your heart to say, I'm good. I'm good. No, there's so much more. And God's voice wants to echo on the inside of you at a greater level. Are you with me? So I'm wrapping up. I am going to reference back to Moses from last week. So the main thing that I realized last week when we were talking about Moses, because Moses asked God, he said, God, show me your glory. Show me your presence. Show me your power. And God did this. God said, you know what? Because you ask, I'm going to take you to places you've never been in me. And this is what the Bible says in Exodus 33, I believe it's verse 11. It says that because Moses got so close to God, it said that Moses spoke to God face to face as a friend speaks to a friend. Can I use you real fast? Come on, real fast. Let me ask you, just by a Q&A, okay? I've asked a lot of questions. I hope you guys have really written them down. If you could look at your relationship with God right now, would it be you'll be God? You comfortable with that? Okay, you can be God. Okay, let's just do a meter. If we were talking about our proximity with God right now, where would you say you are right now in your closeness to God? Are you comfortable with God being distant? If you wouldn't mind, would you call my name? Okay. Would you be comfortable with being able to hear God, be able to at least whisper your name? Like, because back here, I don't know if he's hollering or if he's whispering. I don't know. Some of you, are you comfortable with being this far away? Maybe, how about this? What's your name? Tell me your name. Good. Yes. I love it. You're with me. You're with me. You're with me. That was good. All right. Call my name again. Okay. All right. Back here, I could hear your voice, but it was really, really faint, just so you know. All right. Say my name again. Just so you guys know, back here, it was faint. I came up two rows, and I can hear him a little. It got a little bit louder. Okay? All right. Say my name. Your wife must love your voice. She got a great voice, by the way. Here we go. Say my name. Pastor Damon. So, say my name.
Pastor Damon.
Say my name in the same value.
Pastor Damon.
Okay, so in this building this morning, maybe you're in the back, and it's hard to hear God's voice. I heard your voice, but it only got clearer as I got closer. The same volume that you had when I was back there is out here. See, the further we can be comfortable with God's voice sounding like an extreme whisper, and I heard you call my name because I asked you to say it, but as I got closer to God, his voice got louder. In the book of Exodus, it says that Moses wasn't comfortable being further back, because when you read Exodus 33, it says that Moses pushed aside the people, built a tent for God, and he went into the place where God was. But here's the thing. It says that when God spoke to him, God pulled him close and allowed him to get close. Some of us may have been comfortable with God. Hey, thanks for allowing me in your house. But Moses said, well, if you brought me this far, I wonder what your voice sounds like really up close to you. No, I'm trying to show you something. We can hear God's voice from way back there, but it's faint. I can take a step, and I can be comfortable in any spot. Or I can get as close as he will allow. Here's my challenge. Read Exodus 33 as you go throughout your week. It's in, I think we referenced it in your notes. I wonder if at City Place Church that we won't be comfortable with a whisper when we can get as close as this. I wonder how many people ask God if they can get as close as Moses got. So when we talked last week about a little taste of the glory, God said, you can get as close as you'd like. And I'm going to allow it because you asked me. I wonder if God is asking, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? And we keep drawing closer until we get to the place where we go, not only can I hear you, but I can see you. It's one thing to hear, but I'm not going to be comfortable till I hear and see. I know you gave me an opportunity to hear your voice, God, but I want to hear you and see you. If you give me full access, why would I be on the outside? My heart's already been in a certain place that's kept me from hearing your voice. It was a whisper in the back. I pushed it aside. I pushed aside the stresses of my life as I was coming down the aisle. Your voice got a little bit clearer. I was immature at one time. I need you. My heart's going to be right towards you, God. It's going to be my heart over my head. I'm getting closer and closer every step. God, I'm going to honor you. You let me come into your house. I do not take that for granted as I come closer to you. The fact that you're speaking to me, I'm going to come so close. I promise you that I'm going to be a funnel and not a clog. Just so you know, God, you got to read Exodus 33, y'all. Just so you know, outside the door, there's a young man named Joshua. He is listening to everything that you are saying. I brought him up here because I want him to know that he can have the same access that I have to you. I am going to be a funnel, not going to be a clog. Exodus 33. We can talk about the disciples. They weren't clogs, they were funnels. Freely you have received, freely give, Jesus said. This morning, where will you be comfortable? I ask you, will you be comfortable here? When God says you can come as close as you want. I want to challenge all of us to get as close as we can. God, I can hear you. But not only can I hear you, I want to see you.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.